I'm Gary Nolan. I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to explore journaling, writing for wellness, even healing cancer by writing. And there we'll be talking with a journalist and a professor at the University of California about what happens when we put word to paper. Now let us go over and say hello to my next guest standing by to talk on a subject that we need more of, and that is writing for wellness, healing cancer by writing. Julia Davey. And Julia is a journalist, an author, was a professor of journalism and English at Fullerton College in California, where she received high awards of distinction. Now, in 2001, she created the Writing for Wellness program for fellow cancer patients at City of Hope, where she continues to conduct classes and workshops. By the way, she was named Woman of the Week by CBS News. Her most recent book is Writing for Wellness, A Prescription for Healing. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Gary. Nice to be here.
Well, let's talk about the idea that writing helps us. First, let's take your time, much like a classroom on the air. Talk about how writing would help a person to heal a serious or life-threatening illness, and what do you believe are the psycho-spiritual and biological mechanisms that support writing as a type of therapy? And just walk us through the steps you use to guide a person in writing for wellness. The forum is yours.
Okay, thank you. Well, I had the experience myself when my father passed away and my mother from cancer, and prior to those events, I did write to them and told them how I felt about them and all the things that we try to say in person sometimes and we get caught up and can't do it. I did write a letter to my father thanking him for a good life and a good role model, and I found myself feeling very good about it and relieved and had a cathartic type experience. And I found the same happened for him. He was grateful that I had sent it. He read it. He cherished it. And through that experience, I incorporated that type of writing in my classes, my regular classes at the college. And I would tell people to write a letter to someone who meant a lot to them, or a letter asking for forgiveness, or even forgiving someone else. And I found that the students just poured their hearts out with this type of assignment. Well, I used it occasionally and went about my business, and then 2001 happened, and I found, like all of us, that many of us needed healing, not just cancer patients like myself. And I wanted to give back, talk to some of the people at the City of Hope, and because they have a holistic approach to medicine, they already had art therapy, they had music therapy, and this type of program just seemed to fit. So I proposed it, and within just a few days, which is unheard of in bureaucracies with red tape, I was teaching the classes. I wasn't sure anybody would show up, but I had it, a little flyer that was sent out. People came, and I would give them directed writing topics. Now, in most other Writing to Heal programs, people use journaling, which I think is a very good method. But this one is a little different. I actually ask them to write on a certain topic, such as the shock of finding out they have cancer, there has been some catastrophic problem in their life, divorce, child abuse, a lot of things. So it's a little, I equate it with, instead of taking a Sunday drive like you do with journaling, where you just sort of write down, see where you're going, where you end up, this is more focused and directed and topical. It is designed to bring balance back into one's life. You know, when you're very ill, your life is out of balance, and you need to concentrate, I think, on the entire life, the good and the challenging, shall we say. So I have them write on what they're going through, such as in expelling anger, dealing with frustrations and fear. But I also have them write on some of the best parts of their lives, a place they'll always remember, a role model they'll never forget, that type of writing. And it releases stress, they tell me. I am not a doctor, and I'm not a nutritionist. I've never done any research in that, except that I've taught the classes for 6 years and have heard back from the students and can see physically changes as they actually write. I also think that basically what we're all trying to do is achieve balance. So I always give them lunch. I start with nutritional lunch of hearty soup, and I have fresh vegetables and fruits, and we sit down and have lunch together before the class starts. And I find that this is a bonding and wonderful experience, and it makes them relax, and they start talking to one another, and they feel safe and secure. So I start from that. And it's kind of the things that you've been writing and speaking about for years. You have to deal with the whole body and mind. So that's basically what I do. I have been doing this, as I say, since 2001, and I've been collecting some of the student writings that they've done in the class, and I put them in categories, and I use them in the classes for future students. I tell them my cancer story, then I show them writings from their fellow participants in this Writing for Wellness class, and then I ask, and this is an important part of the class and the book. I have a part called It's Your Turn in every chapter and in every class, and that's when they write. We get very quiet. They write. All I hear are pens and pencils on paper, and I see them physically expel whatever they're dealing with. They might laugh. They might cry. They sometimes look exhausted, relieved, and then they read them in class if they feel like it. I never insist that they do.
Julie,
Julie,
what is the difference between the writing you're speaking about and what most people promote as journaling or diary writing?
Well, journaling and diary writing is not usually topical. You have a journal, and you're asked or instructed to write about how you're feeling that day. And that's extremely helpful to get out those emotions right then. Sometimes, though, you avoid the big picture. You write about what you're feeling right now, but you avoid sometimes the big fear that is overhanging you, or as we call it, unexpressed emotions. So I ask them to write about the worst thing that happened when they found out they had cancer. How did they feel specifically the moment the doctor said, or they got a call, your son died? How did you feel right at that moment? And many times in journaling, they might not write that down because that already happened. They might not have dealt with it. So I'm actually, I don't like the word force, but I'm encouraging them to deal with it at that moment. And everyone in the class writes about the same topic.
Let me tell you something that happened when I was visiting a clinic in Germany. It was on Tegernsee Lake, a very beautiful part of Germany near Munich. And there was an old Bavarian home, but it had been converted into a hospital for terminally ill people. It was owned by Dr. Joseph Issels. He was a practicing physician, surgeon in Germany. And he was one of the most positive and innovative medical doctors I'd ever met. When I got there, I didn't see anyone in the clinic. And I went from floor to floor. It was only three floors. And finally, up on the top floor, I saw some guy putting on his walking shoes. And I went back. And he was an American, a dentist. I said, where is everyone? And he said, well, they're all up on the mountain. I said, which mountain? And he points out the window to this mountain. It was maybe a 5,000-foot mountain, 4,000-foot. So I said, but aren't these supposed to be terminally ill patients? He said, yeah, almost everybody here is terminally ill. I said, well, how in the world do you got terminally ill people climbing a mountain? He said, well, come with me. I'm going up there. So we go down. By the way, the place didn't look like a hospice or hospital. It didn't smell like it. And so we went outside and we started hiking. And I'm going to suggest we hiked about 1,100 feet. Mm. And then we came to a plateau overlooking the whole lake. And here were about 40 people. Mm-hmm. And they had taken up a picnic. And they had different, you know, blankets, and they had different items out. And here's this tall, very, very dynamic-looking man with this long shock of hair. I mean, he looked almost like a Lion King, you know, had that mm-hmm. presence. About 6'6", and strong. Turns out he was an acrobat when he was younger. So I walk over and I introduce myself, and he said, "Well, you're just in time." And he said, "We're drawing some blood." So I watched him as his nurses drew blood. And then they took those down to the lab, and then he put on these speakers. Now, these speakers were so loud, and this is a valley. Imagine that. He gave constipation to the bears, I'll bet. But he told the people, he said, in this deep voice, he said, "Visualize, close your eyes." And he said, "Visualize that you are on this beautiful horse, and you have this shining armor, and in both hands you have two magnificent swords. And as your horse comes into this valley, in front of you are all these cancer cells, millions. And they're coming after you. But you are strong, and as you go, you will win. You will not be defeated." And then he turned on the overture of 1812.
Oh, wonderful.
And as the overture went, it got louder and louder. And I'm watching these people, and I'm watching their bodies physically shake. Mm-hmm. And I watched their faces, and this went on for about 14 minutes. Mm. And then right after, he took their blood again. Mm-hmm. And then later that day, he showed me the before and after. It was absolutely remarkable. Their blood profile, their immune levels, mm-hmm. their natural killer cell activity had increased by almost 100%. And he said, "That's the power of a positive thought."
Mm-hmm. Beautiful story. And reality. I just don't think we have enough programs like this in schools and in medical centers and churches and synagogues. It would be wonderful if we had positive thinking in our lives, integrated into our lives.
I absolutely agree. Well, I want to thank you for what you've done, and because you've given another tool that people can use to help them, and especially people who have life-challenging illnesses like cancer or AIDS or advanced heart disease. And think of all the conditions that people don't use their capacity to visualize, actualize, and write it out. So thank you for writing your new book, Writing for Wellness. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
My guest, Julia Davey, professor of journalism and English at Fullerton College in California. As always, I thank you for taking your time to listen, and my promise is that every day when you tune in here, you'll get something that will empower you, something that you can use in a good way. We are flooded with a lot of toxins. We swim in a sea of toxins in our society, both organic and inorganic chemicals, but thoughts and the energy behind them. It's important to know that we also have a few oases here and there where we can rest, relax, and heal. This is one of them. Go to GaryNall.com. If you miss a show, you can download it. You can go to NPR and get the best of my shows. National Public Radio has an archive with all my best shows. Or you can go to GaryNall.com for anything you miss. I look forward to sharing more on the next program.